This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tan Talk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is sponsored by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Well, I have a real treat today. It's really exciting for me. This is the first time that I've ever done a relay interview. Today, I'm going to be talking to four authors who contributed stories to a brilliant anthology, In Sunlight or in Shadow, based on the iconic paintings of Edward Hopper. And the brilliant idea for this anthology comes from Lawrence Block, Mystery Writer of America Grandmaster, and himself a brilliant writer. So I'm so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Lawrence Block. Hi, Larry, are you there?
Hi, Patsy, how's it going?
Oh, great. Oh, this is so exciting. This book is definitely going to be the anthology of the year, if not the decade, because it is an inspired choice. What you came out with, the idea of asking so many of your fellow authors, 16 of them, to contribute to this book about and based on Edward Hopper's iconic paintings.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted with the way it turned out.
Well, it's brilliant on two sides. One, the actual color photographs in the book are amazing. And then you came out with the idea to ask your writer friends and some of the most famous writers in the world, like Stephen King and Joyce Carol Oates and others who are equally talented. And you gave each of them the opportunity to select an Edward Hopper painting that inspired them.
Yes. And that really was just an idea that came to me in a flash, and it was so easy to recruit people because it turned out that just about everybody I invited was delighted with the idea. They were all fans of Edward Hopper. They all found the paintings that they were instantly responsive to them. And well, you can see from the quality of the stories how nicely that all turned out.
Well, the wonderful thing about Hopper, there's a wide variety of paintings, the landscapes, and of course the famous ones of often just one person alone in a room or one or two people, and they are evocative. And I've always felt every time I've looked at an Edward Hopper painting that there's something going to happen, you know?
Exactly. You occasionally hear him described as a narrative painter, and that's not really on point. And as I understand it, he objected to that label because it's not that his paintings tell stories so much as that they imply that there is a story there waiting to be told.
Exactly. As a screenwriter, for me, that his paintings are always like that moment just before they call out action, you know, something's going to happen. And so it's not so much, I've never seen them as lonely people, as people waiting for their story to be told. And you've done it. You brought out all these fantastic writers to, you know, really tell their own ideas of what each painting means to them.
That's right, and you know it's not by any means a crime fiction anthology, although there are a fair number of crime and mystery stories in it, and it'll probably tend to get shelved that way simply because I'm so much identified with the mystery genre, But the stories are all over the place as far as genre is concerned.
Well, I think that's great because every author who has picks a painting immediately has a story, I think, in their head. It has to, in order for them to select that painting, it has to mean something to them. Did any of them pick the same painting and you have to decide between them?
Well, as soon as someone picked a painting, I took that off the board so that if someone wanted it after that, I had to tell them it was already taken. But there were paintings that might have been picked more than once in that regard, but it wasn't a great problem. Actually, the painting that I took, Automat, was one that Chris Nelscott had listed as her choice, but she said had said so in a rather tentative way, and I looked at the painting myself a little shortly thereafter, and got the whole story like instantly in mind, and I wrote to her and said, "Have you done anything on this? And are you profoundly committed to it? Because I'd love to do it." And she said, "No, that's not really a problem. I just had to pick something, so I picked that, and you're welcome to it." And then she went on to take Hotel Room 1931 and write a dazzling story about the aftermath of the Scottsboro Boys case. So it was really great the way that all worked out.
Well, it is the choices and then the stories that they've written, in some cases almost fantasy, a ghost story, different types of stories, and that's what makes this anthology, I think, so it'll be so popular, because there are stories there that will appeal to all types of readers. And the nice thing with an anthology, I love anthologies, you don't have to read it in order, you can pick it up and you know, read this story and read that story and then go back to it again. So I've always loved anthologies.
Me too, but one great danger with them is that the stories will tend to be the same, especially if it's a thematic anthology of any sort. And that didn't happen at all here, because the only commonality is Hopper's paintings, and that gave us stories just absolutely all over the place. Craig Ferguson is a friend of mine, and he's been, for a while there, was quite eloquent, almost like a broken record, on the subject of certain painters he didn't respond to. He's not a big fan of the abstract expressionists, I guess, and he kept railing at Mark Rothko, who actually I think is a painter I respond to very much. But when I got the idea for the story, I wrote to Craig and said, I know how you feel about Rothko, but how do you feel about Hopper and that? And he wrote back and said, "I love Hopper, you know. I'd love to do a story for this." And that's the kind of reaction I got from everybody.
Well, you know, it's funny. Sometimes people won't know that they know Hopper. It really, because it's so blend into our culture now. His paintings are on covers and here and there and everywhere, and it's just amazing, you know, when you talk to people and they say, "Well, I'm not sure, Edward," and then the minute they see the first one, or they recall the first one, then all of them start coming into their minds, because they are such evocative paintings.
And another thing about Hopper is that he's completely accessible. The paintings are all realistic and everything, and it's very easy for anyone to look at and get a Hopper painting. But at the same time, there's infinite depth. They're never kitschy. They're never cartoons. They're very much works of art that are like any work of art about light and shadow.
Well, I'm going to be talking to three of the other contributors to the book, and it's really exciting. Warren Moore, who, you know, is a up-and-coming new writer, Jonathan Santlaffer, who's also an artist, and, of course, Justin Scott. So it's just wonderful to have this range of authors and the way they've taken and turned their stories into something that really relates to the painting and makes one think about the entire process of writing, how you can take an idea or you look at something and then boom, so often the story just comes right to your mind.
Very true, very true. And I think you're going to have fun talking to Warren and Johnny and Justin. That should be great.
Well, I'm looking forward to, we're doing this in relay fashion today. Now, one of the things I wanted to say also, of course, it was very nice that you got to put one of your daughter's stories in there.
Yes, indeed. My daughter Jill, who has blossomed in, I can't say late in life because she's my child, but after many, many years as a corporate real estate lawyer, she's begun writing, and this is her third published short story, and she's well into a novel.
Well, I liked her choice. It's contemporary, and I like this, that there's a variety of stories in the book.
Yep. That pleases me enormously.
Now, when you got the idea, did you think about the problem of getting permission to use all of these paintings?
I didn't think that would be difficult, and it's complicated. But I had a friend of mine, Shauna Clark, who was very diligent about getting in touch with everybody and getting both the right to reproduce and camera-ready work.
Well, this book comes out on December 6th, and I think it's been priced at an amazing, reasonable price. I mean, it's for the value of this book, and it's available for pre-orders right now. And as I said, it's coming out on the 6th, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm astonished by the how the publisher has been able to bring out a book of this kind of production quality. I mean, there are reproductions of the 17 paintings and actually a bonus painting. So there's 18 paintings of Hopper reproduced in gorgeous color, and it's a beautifully printed book. And the list price on it is only $25.95. I would have thought it would have been $35, frankly.
Absolutely, it looks like a $35 book. In pre-orders, I know, and if you're on Amazon Prime, you get it for even less than the $25.
Oh, so yes, of course.
It's just an amazing, I think, a perfect gift for Christmas and Hanukkah and whatever holiday you're celebrating, because it's a type of book that people will just want to hold on to and pick up every once in a while. You can read it once and then go back and just look at those paintings again and think about, well, what story would I write if I looked at that painting? And I think that's
very true, and it looks great on a coffee table.
Exactly. I think it's a wonderful gift, and it comes out just at the perfect time, and I'm sure it's going to be winning awards, and as I think it's certainly the anthology of the year, if not the decade. We'll see how that goes, huh?
Well, thank you very much, Patsy. That's sweet praise.
Well, and now, of course, you're going to be, I wanted to, before I go on, and we're going to talk to Warren a little while, I want to tell people that they must go to your website. You have a really fantastic website. Of course, many of my listeners are writers, or they want to write. And your website is just terrific for writers. And of course,
well,
they can also
get there, they should sign up for my newsletter.
That's what I was going to say.
It's free and worth every penny.
It is. It is one of the best newsletters. And so everybody should sign up for that, too, because it's really great. And I think, you were inspired. I was thinking, did you have Edward Hopper hanging on your wall?
If only.
Yeah.
I'm afraid not.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I would think that now after this book comes out, everybody's going to want to at least have the print, because they're just so wonderful to look at. And then, of course, to have your book right there on their coffee table. It's in sunlight.
Well, I do have the great good fortune of living just a 4 or 5 blocks from the new Whitney Museum, which is the biggest collection of hoppers in the country. So that helps.
Yes, his wife, I left everything to the Whitney, right?
And
of course, you're going to be having a book signing there?
We're having a book signing at the Whitney on Monday. And one at the Mysterious Bookshop in downtown Manhattan on Tuesday.
Okay.
Those I think are going to be the only events, but they're both scheduled.
Okay. Well, Larry, thank you so much for joining me. I'm inviting you back in January to talk about writing and about all your books about writing. And so I look forward to talking to you sometime later in January. And meanwhile, just congratulations on this brilliant idea of yours, because you're always so brilliant. And we're going to go to Warren Moore in a few minutes. And I just want to say bye to you for now. And have
a
happy
you again,
holiday.
Patsy. Always a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks, Larry. And I think we just about are ready. Do we have Warren on?
Hi there.
Hi, Warren. How are you?
I'm well, Patsy. And you?
Oh, great. Oh, it's so nice to talk to you. You know, I just finished talking to Larry, and of course, it was his inspiration that came out with this fantastic book. And so, I want to tell my listeners that you are, we'll call you, I don't know, an up and coming author, because you recently published your first novel a few years ago, Broken Glass Waltzes, and I'm sure you're working on something else right now.
Probably not as much as I should be, but yes.
Yeah. And of course, it must have been a big thrill for you to get a call from Larry asking you to contribute to this anthology.
Oh, absolutely. It was an honor. And, I joke occasionally about, this is the second time I've been able to work with Larry on an anthology. I also had a story appear in 2015's Dark City Lights. And, it's just when I see the authors that Larry's able to work with and bring into these projects, and then I see my own name there, it's really both exhilarating and humbling. So
well, there you are, right there among Stephen King and Joyce Carol Oates and all
absolutely
of the rest, and well deserved, because this is a wonderful story.
Thank you.
And tell us about it. Now, you selected a painting called Office at Night.
Yes, I did. What happened was Larry sent me an email asking me what I thought about Edward Hopper, and I mentioned, as apparently a lot of the folks he contacted did. Yeah, he mentions in his introduction how many writers respond so positively to Hopper, and I mentioned that I'd been interested in Hopper because my parents had studied art in high school. And in fact, that was where they met, in an art class. And I grew up in a home that, at the time, I thought we were poor. It turned out we were just bohemian. But, I grew up around books, and I grew up around art. And so I got to see a fair amount of Hopper work, just, in the various books and stuff that my father would have. And when Larry mentioned it, it was like, yeah, that's really exciting. And I was just kind of looking at some of the various works, and I'd always been fond of Office at Night. And I sent Larry back a joke that, next time he sends his burglar, Bernie Rodenbaugh, out, he could pick up that painting for me. And Larry said, well, how would you like to write a story about it? And I was like, sure, absolutely. And so, it was a really kind of nice opportunity for me to, kind of tap into some of the gifts of art and the gifts of reading and the stuff like that, and the encouragement that my parents gave me. Lo these too many years ago, now that I'm mumbly-mumble years old and looking even younger. But, it was really exciting.
Well, this painting, Office at Night, is one of his very stunning paintings, where he has two people, and Mm-hmm. I will find out how the story came to you, and I'll just explain to my listeners just so they can see it in their mind. We have a man sitting at a desk doing in an office, and he's obviously very trying to concentrate on this, his work. And behind him at a filing cabinet is a woman and in very, how shall we say, a very tight dress, very, she's looking over his shoulder. And what idea did you come out when you looked at this painting?
Well, my first thought when I looked at it was, you know, kind of a 1930s film noirish kind of thing, and I started to write with just sort of a verbal description of the scene, and then I had a tagline that kind of showed up in the second paragraph where, she had thought from time to time that she and Walter might have a lifetime together before she had died, and from there I just kind of found myself asking these questions, yeah. Who is this Margaret person? How did she die? And what's she doing in the office? And to a certain extent, I kind of took the character of Margaret and based her to some extent on my mother, Madge Moore. And my mom was a very tall lady, and she was about 6 feet tall. And she was of an era where women typically weren't that tall. Well, I guess they're typically not that tall now, but you know what I mean. They're taller now than they used to be. And I drew a little bit on my mom's childhood and background, and that brought me a lot of Margaret's character, but a lot of Margaret's character is just Margaret too. So,
well, it's a great story.
Thank you.
You did a terrific job with it. And as I was telling Larry, that all of these paintings, and when you look at them, it's like a moment. You have this frozen moment in time. But you know that something's going to happen.
And, oh, absolutely.
And that's the exciting thing about taking this story and just going with it. You've done a wonderful job. And
Thank you. As I
have already told all of the contributors that I want you to come back in January to spend more time with me so we can talk about Broken Glass Waltzes and about your other work. And of course you are specialty was medieval literature, so I'm wondering when you're going to get some of that in your work too. So
it's funny. I mean, yes, I'm a medievalist by training. I wrote my dissertation on the seven deadly sins in medieval British literature, specifically the morality plays. And in fact, I'm teaching a course on the seven deadlies this term. But I'm a professor at Newberry College, which is a little bitty college down here in South Carolina. But really, my overarching interest through my career has been kind of understanding. Kind of looking at the phenomenon of evil and how we understand that, and the seven deadly sins were kind of an avenue to that direction. And as it turned out, I had a knack for reading Middle English, so that's why I wound up doing the work in medieval studies.
Okay, well, I'm going to have you back again in January, and we'll talk more about all of your work. And meanwhile, I just want to say your contribution to In Sunlight or In Shadow is really great, and I know that everyone who reads this book will enjoy it. And I want to thank you for joining me today. I have to take a commercial break, and then I'm going to be talking to Jonathan Santlaffer. Wow, he's fantastic, not just as a writer, but also as an artist. And of course, to Justin Scott. So I want to thank you. Oh, before I let you go, Warren, do you have a website?
Yeah, well, not a website per se. I have a blog.
Okay,
it's called Professor Mondo. Prof Mondo, all one word, Prof Mondo. Prof Mondo dot wordpress.com, and I also you can find me on Twitter as @ProfMondo.
Okay,
and I'm on Facebook, and I've got plenty of room there too. So.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and I know that my listeners are going to love this book, and we'll talk to you again in January, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks for having me,
Patrick. Okay. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Looking for a good book? Then get over to Miami Avenue Book Nook in Indian Rocks Beach. Check out the latest books from local authors like Angela Hunt, who wrote the book for the film Risen, or Bonsu Brenvick, whose books preserve the memories of the Bellevue Biltmore Hotel. What do you enjoy reading? A thriller? A romance? How about a mystery or a sci-fi? At the Book Nook, you'll find it all. Remember, one of the joys of life is to read. Located in Indian Rocks Beach, look for the blue building with the mermaid on the side, on the corner of Miami Avenue and 2nd Street, two blocks south of the post office. Open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, noon to 4. And don't forget, while you're there, check out Miami Avenue's great collection of Florida wines, local art, and fantastic gifts. Miami Avenue Book Nook, where you will be inspired to read.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my next guest, another contributor to the fantastic new anthology inspired by the paintings of Edward Hopper, In Sunlight or in Shadow. And my guest is Jonathan Santlaffer, who himself is an artist. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Wow, it's so good to be able to talk to you today about this book. It was just.
I agree. Thanks.
You know, of course, as always, Larry has come out with a winning idea, and I think this is a marvelous book.
Yeah, I couldn't. You know, for me, because I started my career as an artist, this was a particularly exciting project for me. And I don't know, Larry just never runs out of these great ideas, does he?
No, he never does. You know? He's always got something. Something going.
Says something. It's true. It's true. But as I said, you know, because I went to art school. I came out. I had a really successful art career. Then I lost 10 years of my paintings in a museum fire. And I had been writing, and I just, I turned to writing full time. And so, you know, this was an opportunity for me to combine my two loves, you know, writing and art into one thing in a story. So it was a great, particularly exciting opportunity for me.
Of course, the painting you selected is one of his most famous, Night Windows.
Yeah. I chose it because that's another one of my loves, is Alfred Hitchcock. And that painting, to me, is the ultimate rear window painting, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's a kind of voyeur's dream. But and it's funny because when I selected it, I thought, oh, how am I not going to make it into Alfred Hitchcock? So I worked on it and I had a lot of fun with it. It was kind of many of the things about Hopper, about film, about things I'm interested in, you know, came together for me in writing that story. So it was very fun and challenging in the best possible way.
Well, of course, as an artist, you were very familiar with Edward Hopper's work. And,
yes.
You know, just to remind my listeners that Edward Hopper was born in 1882 and he died in 1967. And his work, I don't know how many paintings he painted, but he painted a lot. And they range between the outdoor paintings, which are
right.
One thing, and then of course, so many of these interiors, or just like this, a window,
yeah.
And in that window, wow, is an entire story.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things about Hopper, and I think the brilliance behind this book, is that Hopper paintings, every painting suggests so many possible stories. You know, you look at a Hopper, one of the reasons I think people love Hopper is that they are narratives, they're stories, and you can paint yourself into them, into the story, and interpret it however you like, you know, in many, many different ways. I remember my very first job at a graduate school, I worked at the Whitney Museum in New York City, and they have a huge Hopper collection, and I would take people, one of my jobs was to take benefactors through the Hopper shows and through all the exhibitions. And so I got to know those paintings really well. And, you know, they touch people, the isolation, the loneliness, the beauty, the quiet, the light. They really touch people in many, many ways, I think, that is very particular to Hopper. And so he's the perfect painter to choose for storytelling, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Now, of course, you, as an artist, and you know, one of you know, the amazing things, of course, your website is fantastic because you have some of your art there, and you use art in your books, and which
I
love because
I like in
your Kate McKinnon series, there you have, she's an art impresario and a former cop, and there's a lot of art mixed in there. And then I love Anatomy of Fear, where you actually have your drawings in there.
Thank you. You know, I created that series about a police sketch artist, a forensic artist, Nate Rodriguez. Really, I created it as an excuse so I could do drawings in the book. So I do Nate, all of the sketches Nate does with witnesses. And I actually went and worked with the police. I volunteered as a police sketch artist for about 6 months and found out I was pretty good at it, as a matter of fact. So it was an education for me, but also a way for me to put real drawings into my books. So, you know, it's funny, I'm just about to put out a blog on this fantastic book, In Sunlight or in Shadow, in which I do little sketches of about four or five of the paintings, and even a sketch of Edward Hopper, because one of my ways of seeing the world is by drawing it, you know? So I like both, you know, putting it in words and doing drawings. So I'm really, thank you very much for mentioning those books.
Well, I think it's so clever because you normally with every other writer, you would have a book about a sketch artist, but there would be no sketches.
Right.
And it's, but in this case, oh, I thought that was so clever. It blows my mind. It's just so clever.
Oh, thank you. I love you for saying that. That's for sure.
Well,
that book won an award, so I was very, very happy about it.
You deserve it because I really, I think it's just, it's a brilliant concept too. I'm using brilliant a lot, but of course, when I've got, well, listen, today I've got, you know, I've got Edward Hopper, so that's brilliant.
Right,
I've got
right.
Larry Block. What can you say? I mean, that's
oh my God.
That's
he's
the first word that comes to mind. He's a genius.
And you know, one of the things, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to say that one of the things is that it made so much sense to me that Larry Block would choose Hopper because, you know, he writes some of the greatest, grittiest novels and stories, but his work is so filled with pathos and morality and a sense of humanity, always, you know, for all the years I've been reading Larry Block, it's to me what sets his work apart from so many other crime writers, that it has a tremendous amount of heart, and I relate that to Hopper as well. So I think they're a marriage made in heaven, you know?
Exactly.
I really do.
And
yeah,
you were a perfect choice to join this anthology. It's just...
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And your story is great, and everybody should read it. And as I was telling everyone, it's coming out on December 6th, and they have to pre-order
right.
it. And then, of course, I'm inviting you back. Not only am I inviting you back, I've invited all of you guys back, and I just want to talk to you about your work and about... You know, also, I'll just mention, I want to talk about your wife's Food City book.
Oh, that's so great. You know, it's a bittersweet thing. You know, my wife passed away very suddenly years ago, and my daughter and I sort of finished her book for her, but it's an amazing book that's come out just this month, and it's doing really well, and it's, you know, it's a great legacy to be able to leave something behind, that's for sure, you know.
Exactly.
Makes me both happy and sad, and thank you. That's really kind of you to mention.
Well, so I'm going to, you know, have you back in January sometime, and we can talk more about all of your work, okay?
Thank you. You're the greatest. Thank you.
Well, I'm having fun. This is the first time I've ever done a relay where I go from one author to another, but it's a lot of fun. And so just thanks again for joining me today. And we're moving on now to Justin Scott.
Well, good. Have fun, Patsy. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye now. Okay, woo! This is fantastic. I love doing this. I wish I had all 17 of them. Hi.
Hi. How are you? I'm thinking of watching a shell game on 9th Avenue.
Wow. Hi, Justin Scott. Okay, fantastic. I'm so happy to have you on because I have a problem with you. I've had a terrible problem with you. I drove my husband crazy one time because I lost the Normandy Triangle somewhere in the house. Now, that's, you know, for most people that might not be a problem, but since I have thousands and thousands of books, I had it out there. This book is dog-eared. I don't normally like go through books so many times, and it's a paperback book. And I've read it many times because it is one of my favorite books.
Well, maybe I've got to find a less dog-eared copy and send one.
You know, and it's funny. I have read that book at least. I remember I've read it on an airplane. I read it on a pier overlooking the ocean, and imagining that I'm, you know, on the Normandy. I'm going to talk about this anthology, but I just have to tell you that this book is it's so amazing, and I love it. And I was so happy. I just found out that it's out on Kindle, so now I can have it on Kindle. But still, I like the hard. I'm a book person. I need that book in my hand. So it's a wonderful book.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear it. It is an old favorite of mine.
Oh, well, so this anthology, of course, is fantastic. And you know, when Larry called you and said, pick a painting, what did you think? Which did you know right away, or did you have to spend some time going through?
I thought I knew right away because, you know, I've enjoyed a number of Hopper's sea paintings. And I've written a bunch of sea stories, so that seemed like a natural fit. I'll find a short story in one. And I started going through them, and I wasn't really believing there was a short story or a story. And then I saw one with five kids on a boat, and I thought, wow, there it is. And then I thought, no, that's not a short story. That's a novel. And Larry asked for a short story. So I gave up on the sea idea and started going through Hopper, who I knew pretty well. I'd been to the big show in Washington recently. I'd been to a big show in New York, too. And then it was just a matter of, okay, if I'm going to give up on sea stories, what of these will work and talk to me? I must say, it was the most interesting writing assignment I've ever had in my life. From the moment of first going out to pick, and then when picking, then say, okay, now I see a story here. No, actually, I didn't see that. I see the possibility of a story here, or there must be one in some place. So absolutely.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Dropped off for a minute. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Something's beeping here, but it should stop and go away.
Okay. Yes. Nobody else is important right now.
I feel exactly the same way. So anyhow, it was one of those jobs that was a joy from the beginning, but it also was utterly different, you know, than anything I've ever done. So when I saw A Woman in the Sun, I knew instantly that finally, you know, found the one. And I started looking at it the way I look at an old photograph when I'm writing an historical novel, where you look repeatedly again and again and again and again, looking for, what have I seen? Have I seen everything? Okay, I've seen everything. What do I miss? Ah, there's something I hadn't seen. And you just accumulate a deeper and deeper knowledge of what's in the photograph. And I kept looking that way at this painting, began to really see the room, be in the room, see where the sun really was coming from, see why that window was there, see why her high heels are under the bed. She's standing naked, smoking a cigarette. And I suddenly understood where the cigarette had come from. And at that point, it was really a matter of just, you know, running alongside the story and typing.
And you came out with a really great story.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. It was, you know, I came to short stories late. I had probably published a dozen novels before I ever tried one. Dorothy Salisbury Davis talked me into trying one. And they are infinitely more difficult than novels. There's no question about it.
You have to really focus yourself and be, and that word tight is important.
Yeah, like why is this here? What is it doing here? What, you know, there's no way around the problem of if it doesn't belong, it doesn't belong.
And certainly when, by the time you finish it and you know that Larry Block is going to edit it, you want it to be perfect.
Well, you know, I mean, God, Larry was my original mentor. That's how long he and I have known each other. I started writing because Larry looked at me one day and he said, you know, you should be a writer. And I had harbored such thoughts, but I said, why? And Larry said, you look like a writer. So I quit a job I had at a magazine and started typing my first novel. And 10 days later, I ran into Larry, and I told him what I had done. He went absolutely white. He hadn't quite...
Yeah, oh, boy. Well, his idea was right, as always, because, as I said, today I'm using the word brilliant with everybody, and his idea was brilliant to send you off into the writing world, because you've just come out with one book after another that's amazing. But I always come back to this Normandy Triangle. It's just, I think for a suspense book, it can't be beaten. It just...
You are truly making my morning, I must tell you. I mean, the way to any writer's heart is to talk about, you know, one of his earlier books, you know, lovingly, and bless you. I'm just so glad to hear it. I've always loved the book. I recently went back, when it was time to put it up on Kindle, went back and reread with an eye to, you know, what I would do to, you know, get it onto Kindle. And it's interesting coming, you know, sometimes you come to an older work and it's like it's absolutely exactly what it should be. Other times, you know, you wish you could blow your brains out. And this did not fall into the blow that my brains out category.
No, not at all. I as I said, when I've talked to people, and the problem is is it available in print?
We are not now in print.
I didn't understand why, because yeah. I know I have told people to get it. And I did not realize that it wasn't still in print.
It'll happen again.
It has to.
We brought back The Ship Killer in hardcover a couple of years ago. And in the spring, we're bringing back Rampage in hardcover. And I would hope that Normandy would be next.
Oh, it has to. It has to, because this is a great book. And I'm always, when I read it, and as I said, I've read it four times, and then I pick up and look at it in other areas, because the writing is so solid. You don't have to, exactly that. It was, I think, what, 1981, some 82,
yeah,
something like that. And you're right that often you want to go back and you'd say, oh, I change. You in Normandy, you don't have to change a thing.
You know, it was my second big book. I had published a whole bunch of mysteries, and, you know, I'd learned some craft. And then I wrote a big novel in The Ship Killer. And so I came to Normandy pretty well armed, with the abilities to try a really big book. So I think I joined up with some confidence. You know, it would have been hard to make that a first book, but nonetheless, every kind word you're saying is warming my heart.
Well, you know, I'm going to have you back again because I want to talk about all your books. Sometime in January, February, I'm going to give you some dates, and you can pick a date and come back for the entire hour so I can talk to you.
That'd be fun. Well, I'll tell you this. You know, Clive Cussler and I have our next Isaac Bell is coming out the beginning of March, and Rampage is coming out right at about the same time also. So.
Well, I love Clive. Yeah. I've had him on the program before.
I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, and perhaps he'll come back. Maybe we'll have you both on at the same time. Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be a ball.
That would be. And then meanwhile, we're promoting In Sunlight or In Shadow. I think it's going to be the anthology of the year. And are you going to be at any of the events, the book signings?
I'm supposed to be. We're having an event at the Whitney Museum.
That'll be nice.
Monday. And then on Tuesday, we're having one at Otto Penzler's Mysterious Bookshop. So I certainly should be at those events. Yeah, yeah. There ought to be a pretty nice gang of writers there, too.
Well, that'll be fantastic. It's a book that I think...
Hop a quick flight up, Patsy, and, you know...
Oh, I wish I...
Hop into the Whitney on a Monday.
Oh, I would... Well, you never know. Maybe I will. Yeah. I might just do that. Because it is a book that I think all of you should be so proud of.
Larry, I got to tell you, it's the smartest idea ever. And every time I tell somebody about the book, their mouth drops open. Oh my gosh, what a fabulous idea!
Ooh.
You know, it really is a brilliant thought. Bless him, his ever fertile brain.
Exactly. When he first told me about it, he sent me an email and he said, you know, I'm doing, and I said, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe no one had ever thought about it before. But then I realized. Well, not that many people are as brilliant as he is. So,
yeah.
What can you...
No, exactly. The second you hear it, you say, of course. And then, you mean there isn't one already? Yeah.
So he's done a marvelous job of getting all of you. And I'm sure that, it's fun to be part of this group of writers. It's just...
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you realize, you know, talent to the left of them, talent to the right of them. They're all over the place. You hunker down and type faster.
Okay, well, I just want to, again, thank you for joining me today. It's been fun to do this little relay with the four of you today. And I will have you back soon so we can talk more about all of your work. And meanwhile, I want to say you have a web page?
Yes, Justin Scott and Paul Garrison.
Yes, because Paul Garrison is one of your pen names.
One of my pen names.
That's
yeah,
right.
Done some big sea stories under this.
Oh, exactly. So it's Justin Scott... -PaulGarrison and .com. It's a great website, and you explain there all about how you got all these names. I think.
Well, you know, one thing I'll tell you, Patsy. Next time, I just learned the other day I had a pen name I'd never known about.
What?
And it is unbelievable. I have a pen name for a story published in 1944, which was the year I was born.
Oh.
I will tell you how that happened.
On the next.
Absolutely magical.
Okay, on the next program that you're on, you're going to explain it. Although I do love that pen name that you had, J.S. Blazer. I thought that's.
Yes, indeed.
That's actually a great name for a character. It sounds, woo! We could do a whole series of J.S. Blazer.
Well, okay. That magical pen name that I'll tell you about next time.
Oh, okay.
Justin Blazer.
Okay, so looking forward to it. Okay, well, we're looking forward to it. So thank you so much for joining me today, Justin Scott. And just have a wonderful holiday season and have a wonderful signing up there on next Monday. Okay?
Excellent, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Patsy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's great talking to you. Bye.
Lovely, yeah, bye-bye.
Whoa, four in a row. This is fantastic. Well, as I said, this book is a wonderful gift. And as Larry said, it does not look like a $20 book. I was so amazed that it's $20 on Amazon Prime, because in order to get such high quality color copies of these photos, of these paintings. That's an expensive process. So when you get this book and you give it as a gift, people will think not even $35. It looks more like a $50 book. And I was so thrilled when Larry sent it to me. And so I got to, read the stories and just to, spend my time looking at the paintings. I want to, again, tell everyone that it's just a great gift to give to people. And meanwhile, I also have coming up next Tuesday, I'm going to have Sue Kochman on. And Sue Kochman has written a new children's story. And I just love Sue. She's a local author. She's one of the authors that's featured at the Miami Avenue Book Nook. And if you have time this weekend, starting tonight, actually, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at Miami Avenue Wine Bar, they have live music. It's a fantastic place to go, a great place to get away from the television and to meet friends and to have a nice glass of wine. And coming up next week, Bev Malley is going to be having a wine tasting event. So I will give you more details on that next Tuesday. But meanwhile, I'm looking forward to having Sue Kochman on Tuesday to talk about her new book. Her son is a Major League Baseball player, and I love baseball, so I might get her to talk a little bit about baseball. And also, that's about it for today. I want to remind everyone that coming up in January, Robert Tannenbaum is going to be joining me as a contributor here on Joy on Paper, and he's going to be recommending the books that are essential for everyone, books that you should read and not miss out on. And so I'm really thrilled that Robert Tannenbaum is joining me for Book Buzz, and we will be starting every few programs whenever I have some time to put in one of his recommendations. And I think you will really enjoy listening to him and to his recommendation of books that we should all read. And meanwhile, I just want to tell everyone that I also have several events coming up in January that we will be announcing next week. And my anniversary program in March, I will be announcing some winners of contests that I'm going to be holding, and I'm going to be giving out some prizes for my, both new authors and some of our favorite authors over the past year and some of my favorite guests. And so I will be announcing that on Tuesday also. And meanwhile, just remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. So take time this weekend to write to think about writing and get something on paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. And this is Patsy with a Z, hoping that you will say something nice to someone today, because it's always nice when you are nice. Thanks and bye.